Am I on here? Oh, they were rocking, y'all. Weren't they rocking? Oh, man. I felt like I had a whole choir up here, doggone it. Mary, we'll have to do that with the choir. Yeah, that'll be awesome. Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to say thank you, Bonnie, for letting me be here. I miss not seeing her little face that I don't look at when I'm up here. I can't look at her. So this morning, I thought, okay, the truth of who I am. Let's set the day in motion. Let's define our day. So if you will all join in with me for just about a minute, I want us to speak out in our outward voice and give thanks or appreciation or gratitude for any and everything that we have in our life. Are you with me? And this is not, well, I'm thankful for, and I'm great. I mean, I want to hear it. I want to feel it because I'm going to be with you right there. Are you ready to set your day? Are you ready to set it? I am grateful. I am grateful. Go for it. I am thankful for the divine magnificence. I am thankful for my life. I am thankful for the absolute wonder. You know what you're thankful for. Don't look at me. You know what you're thankful for. I'm thankful for the roads that I drive on. I'm thankful for the divine people that are in my life. Feel it. Go ahead and get down with it. I am thankful for the magnificence. I'm thankful for the sun that rises every day. I'm thankful for the world that is turning. I can't hear you. I'm thankful. I am thankful. Can't you feel that? Do you feel that energy? That's the truth of who we are. That energy right there, when we are giving thanks and praise, when we are in the divine magnificence of appreciating everything, that's the truth of who we are. That feeling right there. If you got in and you started really feeling grateful and thankful for the things in your life, you shifted your energy. You shifted the presence, and you started in that moment to define your day. I'm thankful for Jana and Davey. They are hosting me while I'm here in town, and they had a gourmet for gods yesterday, so I got to go hang out, you know. And listening to some of the conversations that were going on, I was like, God, you're always right where I am, and I know that, but it was really beautiful because we are moving into a space of consciousness. So we must start recognizing within ourselves that we can no longer keep the old conversations alive. Words like luck, it just seemed to happen. We must start taking ownership that we are the creators of things that are happening. So everything that's happening right now, we've created out of default. It's powerful when you can recognize and become aware that, oh, I did that. I did that. Now, it doesn't feel good sometimes when it's like, oh, I didn't want to do that. But you remember, for those of you that learned how to ride a bike, there was a moment where you were like, okay, you were close to getting it. You were close. You know, you weren't falling off as much, and if you did, you could catch yourself. And you were like almost right there. And then it happened. You were riding, and you knew that you did it. There was an awakening within you that no one could tell you at that moment that you don't know how to ride a bike, because you knew within yourselves that you could do it. This is the awakening that we must start to have now, that we are creating our world, that we want to take ownership that I am the creator with my Father, that the things that I think and feel every day matter in this world. They matter to my world, to your world. So when you hear yourself say things like, oh, it was just luck. No, it's not luck. It's you. It's you. Now, a lot of it is because we've been asleep. As Reverend Michael used to say, we've been asleep. I thought, oh, I must have been in a what do they call it, in a coma. I wasn't asleep. I was just, shoop. But it's all right because we're waking up, and all of us are waking up at different levels, and that's okay too. We're not all meant to do the same thing at the same time and the same way. How boring would that be? So as we are waking up now, as we're coming into consciousness, Ernest Holmes said that we are just teenagers. I was like, wow, I was crazy at 13. But that's where the chaos and all of the what appears to be things not working out right, things not working for people. It's just a new awakening that's being birthed, that we are moving into the Star Trek phase of life of consciousness, where everybody's understanding that consciousness is what's happening, that it's happening within me, not outside of me. See, before, we were working from the outside, that if I got these things, then my world, my life would be so much better. And so a lot of things we got. We got a lot of material things, and, you know, we got that relationship out the way, and then we got another one that was just like the one we got out of the way, but we were, I'm going to be determined, doggone it. I'm going to get one that's going to work for me. And so as a country, as a world, as a nation, we've been on that treadmill. And like little flowers, we've been popping. And for a while, none of us noticed. But then the flowers got really busy. They're pop, 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 like popcorn. You know, pop, 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 pop. It's like, oh, wait a minute. My world has totally changed. Someone is changing my world. You must start to take ownership of your world. And that's taking ownership of your thoughts. So if you wake up every day, you get up, you go to the bathroom, maybe you can make some coffee. By then you start mumbling about your day. Well, I'm gonna go have to go meet these people. I gotta go to work. I sure hope I don't see them at work today. And then we drive to work usually the same way we go every day, go the same route. We get to work, we sit next to the person, we say the same little corny joke we said yesterday. And so how many of you are familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza? I love him. Sometimes I have to listen like 45 times for it to start to sink in, because he's really dealing with quantum physics and the mind. And so that little morning that I just described, we have fired in our brains this routine that we automatically do. And he brought this point up that just blew my world when he said, we've trained our brains to train our body so that now our body is doing without the brain. The body is automatically doing what you've trained it to do. It doesn't even need the mind anymore. I know, I was like, what? Say that again? So that means if your daily practice is to get up in the morning, and from the time you awake, you start complaining. You know, and we like to think, well, it's just a little complaint. I mean, it's not a big one. I mean, you know, I'm complaining because it's hot. And, you know, I'm right to say I can complain because it's hot, right? Because it is hot, right? So I should be able to do that, right? But then from it's hot, then you go into, well, you know, I called so-and-so yesterday and she didn't return my call, or he didn't return my call. How rude is that? Because I always return their call. And then I text them and they didn't text me back. I know they got the text. And by the time you leave the house, your whole body is in an uproar. So you've practiced this way of being every morning. It may be a different subject, but the essence of it is the same. And then we wonder why our bodies start to break down. The stress that we hold in our bodies and our minds and our conversation all the time. That begins to express itself in the body. The body is now going, okay, it starts to crave the dysfunction. That's how, like, whoa, it starts to say, wait a minute. You decide, okay, I'm going to change my eating habits. And the body goes, no, no, no. I want that chocolate donut. I want that chocolate donut. I want that coffee. And you thought, oh, if I get past these first couple of days, I'll be all right. But that's because you've trained the body to go, I got to have my caffeine in the morning. I can't function without it. There are people that look at you, I cannot function without my caffeine. So the body says, we will not let you function without your caffeine. We are not going to do that. So you go, okay, I'm gonna be off caffeine for 2 days. Oh, you're just evil. You're just mad at the world. Because the body is saying, wait a minute. We've already made this arrangement. You have programmed me. You have said this is who we are. We're caffeine. We get our caffeine, then we're all good with the world. I've got no caffeine. I'm not good with the world. I'm mad at the world. So the second day, if you make it through the first day, the second day it intensifies. Because this program that you've set into place, whether you realize it or not, and that's where the awakening has to come down. We've got to realize that we have programmed our bodies. We've programmed our life to work in a way that's not in our highest and best most of the time. We're fighting against ourselves. So that second day, you make it to that second day. You wake up and it's like, oh God, my head is hurting. My body is shaking. I need to have some coffee. And the body's like, you're absolutely right. You need to have that coffee. Because once you get that coffee, all will be well with the world. But now if you buy into that feeling, into that sense, because the body is going to be sending you sensors all day long, you need this coffee. You want this coffee. This coffee is for you. I mean, that's how powerful we are. And this is what we do every day. It could be coffee, it could be tea. You know what I'm saying. So the body now is starting to freak out. Why can't I have this coffee that we've already said that was the way that we were doing life? And it's in those moments when you're at the peak of your stress, you have to go into meditation. And it's not easy at that time because the mind is so busy. I don't want to meditate. I want to talk about this coffee. I want to think about this coffee. I want to look at people that are drinking the coffee, and I want to know why are they drinking the coffee and I'm not drinking the coffee. I want to tell them, because have you ever given up something and you go to people and they're doing it? You know, that's really bad for you. You're messing up your body because you're mad that you can't have it or that you've decided not to have it. So now they're wrong. Look at you, and you're standing there judging like, That is just a shame what you're doing. I have a friend that's a vegan, and I'm like, I'm all good with that. Be happy. When she goes out with the rest of the gang that's not, she sits at the table, literally. Oh, my God. Really? You're going to eat that? You're going to eat that. You know that was a living animal. You know that, right? And I said, you know that carrot that you're eating on? It had a root to it, and they cut that root. That carrot is now dead. We want to get into everybody else's life. If you're vegan, I love you. If you're not vegan, I love you. That's not my business, and it doesn't affect my life unless I try to insert my values into your life, unless I try to make your life wrong because you want to eat meat and I don't, or I want to eat and you don't. We do that with everything. We think this is the way it has to be. Why can't it be every way? When I look at nature, I don't see a palm tree beating up on a walnut tree because they're standing next to one another. I want you to get out of here, walnut tree. I'm a palm tree, and this is all for me. We are learning. This is the new venture that we're stepping into to start really taking ownership of what we're thinking, and it requires us to start reprogramming. It requires that you start to set your day. As Dr. Joe Dispenza says, are you going to create your day? I was like, wow, that's pretty big. Am I going to create it? And, you know, the mind goes, well, you can't create your day. It's too many other people and things. You can't create that. But that's the old paradigm. There was a lady that wrote to him and said that she started practicing, I'm going to practice creating my day. And so this one particular day, she said, you know, I think I am creating it, but I want to make sure. So I want you to show me something that is absolutely conclusive that I am creating my day. She was driving down the street, had her windows open. An eagle flew in her car, sat on the dashboard, looked at her. She looked at the eagle. Eagle's like, see ya, and flew out. We have that kind of power, but we must start to recognize that power. So when you do create something that you're aware of, you want to say, hey, I created that. So that it you don't just skip over it. That you start to really become aware that I have given thought, I have given feeling, I have been aware of what I'm doing, and look at what has shown up in my life. I created that. Now, when you get into that accident, I'm not saying you got to do it right then and there, but you want to take a moment and go, ooh, I created this. Because just like when you're riding that bike and you almost fell and you caught yourself, the more you become aware of what you're doing, when you're doing it, you gain your power. You gain your clarity. You gain your sense of ownership that it is me, that my life is up to me, not up to circumstances outside. We're all going to have life. But what if we actually start having life more abundantly? What would that do to your world? I know, right? It's a consistency that you must give into. A consistency of meditation. I was not a big fan of the meditation. I was like, I can't keep my mind quiet. What are they talking about? Keep nothing in your mind? There's a whole time I'm having that conversation while I'm trying to meditate. Keep nothing? Well, I'm going to have something, right? I'm going to have to think about something. You just can't have nothing. But there was someone that explained meditation that didn't fully grasp it. We're going to have thoughts that come through in meditation. You know, you hit them, let them go. You hit them, let them go. So I started this practice. That's about 100 and I think I'm at 155 days, consistent meditation every day. I meditate at least once a day, sometimes twice. Twice, about half of that, 75. And so one of the main things that I've noticed is that when things happen that don't appear to be what I want to happen, I don't freak out. The first time I was like, I should be freaking out. I should want to just start screaming and crying and doing something. But I was like, okay, I'm going to have to deal with it. Let me just deal with it. All righty, here we are. The other day, one of my flash drives that I do a lot of work off of, and as I travel, I go to a lot of different libraries, and I notice I lost it. I know. That's what I would have been like, oh, my God, how am I going to? And I was like, well, that means something new is coming in, you know. And I was really at a state of peace that this will not determine my day. I will not give my power away. I checked where I thought it would be. It wasn't there. And then the mind said, you know that man that asked you to use your headset and you said no? I bet he took it. I was like, what's wrong with you? Stop it. So I took a moment. In that moment, I said, just breathe. There's nothing lost. There's nothing misplaced. Whatever you need, you will have. But doing the work in the moment, that is where the power comes from. If we let the moment go by and we do nothing, we keep the monkey brain going. And we keep doing the same thing, expecting what? And we know that, you know. They say it's crazy. I know I've been really crazy at times. So this stage that we're moving into, this consciousness that we are, this awakening of our power, that for once in your life, you can say to yourself, I am in control of who and what I am and what I create. Isn't that dynamic? I am in control. Not my job, not the political party, the Republicans or the Democrats or the liberals or the Green Party or whatever other kind of party. But I am. I am in control. I'm in control of what I'm thinking and feeling. And it requires a commitment, a consistency to unplug from the world. And meditation is a way of doing that. It is a way of being that. It is a way of communicating without all of the craze of the world that's going on. I've noticed that as I've been meditating in this consistent cycle, I wake up wanting to meditate, wanting to set my day. There have been times that I've meditated at night, but I notice for me, in the morning time, to set that, it sets me in alignment. Take time in your morning to prepare for your day. Things have changed, so we have to change with them. You can meditate, you can put, you know, I got meditation things all on my phone. So you can be with meditation at any point and any time. But you have to be willing to want to change. To want to recognize that we are in a new paradigm right now. It's not yesterday. This whole brand new thing going on. And we're learning. We're learning that consciousness is of value. That being in a state of joy, it is of value. Of being happy in my spirit, it is of value. These things are of value to us. Things have changed. The value is changing. It's great to have a beautiful million-dollar home, but it cannot support your mental and spiritual awakening. It's great to have a Ducati motorcycle, but it's only temporary, the joy that it will give you. Feeling your spirit in your heart, that is where we are awakening to. The consciousness that is right here, right now. So let's take this moment once again, because I think when we shift our energy, when we open our heart space, when we recognize who and what we are, when we feel that connection of joy, when you feel that, you know that you know that you know how to ride that bike. You know it. So let's take a moment right now. If it's gratitude, if it's appreciation, if it's thanksgiving, think of three things that you're thankful for. Just get them in your mind. Three things that you're thankful for. Everybody got it? Now, I want you on the count of three, when I go one, two, three, I want us to say, I am thankful. Say those three things. I am thankful, one. I am thankful, two. I am thankful, three. I am thankful. Everybody clear? You with me? I know you don't go to sleep. Not yet. It's not the time. Not the time. Because your mind, these are the things. Your mind's like, oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We want to keep the chaos going. We want to keep the rhetoric going. Another tip. When you start to shift your consciousness, is ask yourself questions. Give the mind something to do. Ask questions like, how can I see love today? You'll be amazed at how your mind will find pictures and things for you to see what you feel is the presence of love showing to you. Ask the mind questions. Where is there joy today? It will start looking, because the mind wants to work. Give it things to work that support you, that make you feel and help you be in alignment with spirit. So we ready? You ready? You ready? I don't think you're ready. You got three things. One, two, three. I am. I am thankful for each and every one of you. That joy that I see on your face, that moment of expression of knowing that God is right here with me, that the divine spirit, infinite intelligence, whatever you call it, you have shifted yourself today. You have thrown a pebble into the river of the divine expression, and there is a shift. There is a shift. Look for the butterflies that you'll see. Look for the dragonflies that will be flying around you. Look for the little doggies that'll come up and be like, mm-hmm. I saw this dog. I was like, hello, beautiful. And the lady said, you know she's saying that right back to you. We want to look for those moments because they're present and they help us shift. So know that you are divine thanksgiving, that you are a happiness, that you are a joy-filled spirit, and you are supposed to feel good each and every day. Peace and blessings.